Whatever decision you make, I choose to believe. I do care because I want you to believe too. Amen, amen. We're going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Sister Allison, thank you for blessing us with that song. She's easy to worship with. It's always an impactful song. It's always a truth-filled song, and I appreciate that about you. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to start in verse 14. This is Paul writing to a man that he called his son in the gospel, someone that he had heavily invested in the ministry of Timothy, and he had poured himself out into this young man and tried to enable him in every way to serve in the ministry that God had called him to. So this is a man that is filled with the Holy Ghost. He's speaking truth already. He's ministering in a church setting. And Paul says to him in verse 14, "But continue thou, Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Now, ladies, if you think that leaves you out, that word man is meant to be an inclusive term about all of humanity. That the people of God, the person of God, may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Let's close our eyes and lift our heads to the Lord. Lord, I believe you have a word for us today, and I pray that you would help me speak it, God, as you have given it to me. Nothing more, nothing less, and help us to hear with open hearts and open minds and open spirits, Lord Jesus, to receive your word, that it would change us, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, you may be seated. Before I forget, at first I wrote this down in my notebook because we had to make an announcement that there is no prayer tomorrow. There is prayer tomorrow. There is just not prayer here tomorrow. We will pray. We will just not pray here all together at 7:30 like we normally do on Mondays. So it's not no prayer. It's just no prayer here. Unless you want to come and pray. And you have a key. If you don't have a key, pray on the outside. Bless my house too. It's going to be a day, y'all. Pray. Today's title is something that I'm sure you have heard before. There is an app for that. There's an app for that. There's an app for that. Now, you've probably heard that come out of Brother Mike's mouth, because he is the biggest advocate that we have for our church's app. If you go into the App Store on Apple or the Google Play Store, you can look up Apostolic Church of Belleville, and there's an app for that. And there's a video platform where you can watch previous services. It's neatly divided into lots of different categories. You've got the Sundays. Brother Mike is cheering from the back. We'd love for all of you to download the app onto one of your devices and watch those old sermons. I let it play while I'm working. I plug my phone in so my battery doesn't die. But while I'm working, I'll just let sermons and services go, and it helps me in my day. But there's an app for that. I will say it's full of great content. It's full of full services, so you'll hear music as well as I'm just plugging away at this. I hope that you have the app on your devices and you're taking advantage of it. I hope you're telling your friends about it, because they need it too. Everybody in this generation needs a good word reminding them of who God is. There is an app for that. So the reason that this came to mind for me is I'm a trainer at my job, and I train others how to do the job that we all do. And I am constantly driving people to the apps. I know that you're doing this all by hand, but there's an app for that. Can I tell you about it? Can I share with you how much easier life can be if you learn how to use spreadsheets instead of trying to do all this math by hand? Brother Jake feels that. He spends most of his job making and using spreadsheets. I use things like Microsoft Word and Teams to communicate, and we use Excel for all those spreadsheet things, and I use OneNote. We just introduced the pastoral staff to OneNote, so they may or may not be happy that I'm part of that pastoral staff. We use PowerPoint, we use Viva Insights, we use Microsoft Planner and Microsoft To-Do and Outlook Inbox and Outlook Calendar and Outlook Tasks. Why? Because there's an app for that. Whatever you want to do, and you're sitting in front of a computer, there is an application that can assist you to do it. And I'm not even getting into AI. AI at work can do some pretty incredible things. It can take notes for you in a meeting. But not at my firm, in case Big Brother is watching. We're security, compliance, not allow that. I do not do that. But one day, hopefully, we have a security and compliance standard that we would be able to have AI take notes for us, because there's an app for that. An app stands for an application. An application. And we've been using this term for so long. Did you know that this term has been around since the 80s? Apps or applications on computers has been around since the 80s. That terminology. The word application, we understand it as a digital tool that enables some capacity or feature on our phones or devices. Today, we had a video that we showed downstairs to the elementary school of a butterfly emerging from a cocoon. I used an app for that. I opened a video app and I played it through the app, and the kids were able to see a butterfly emerge, and it was a cool thing to have an app for that. The official definition of an application, though, predates, I hate to tell all the tech nerds, it predates technology. The original term application predates Macintosh, and it predates your smartphone, and it predates IBM, which was one of the first creators of the computer, International Business Machines. The term application really means the action of putting something into operation. Application means the action of putting something into operation. And that's how apps got their name. You click the screen and you open the app and you put it into operation. And that's the definition I'm going to use today. When I talk about an app, it's the action of putting something into operation. So in this passage, Paul is reminding Timothy, hey, all that learning that you did, how about you put that into operation? How about you apply what you've learned? Hey, Timothy, there's an app for that. There's an application for that. That content that we talked through, that content that was literally God-breathed, that's what that word inspired really translates into, that it was breathed by God into the minds and into the books that the people wrote. That content was created by the greatest content creator who has ever created. He inspired it. He breathed that content, those scriptures, into existence. And it is valuable when it is applied, when it is put into operation. It's valuable all the time, but it's most valuable when it's put into operation. So even now, if I had my phone up here, I could have all kinds of apps on my home screen. That would do me absolutely no good unless I click on them. They're existing in my phone, but I'm not engaging with them until I open the application. If I download something and it sits there, and I never set up a user ID and never log into the account, never have a password, never launch the tool, what's the point of having it anyway? It's not helping me. It's not doing anything. You have to open the app. You have to sign in. You have to create the user ID and a password. And you have to click around to get it to do what you want it to do. And that's what Timothy is learning from Paul. Look, the word is valuable, but you have to use it. You have to engage with it. Yes, all scripture is inspired by God, but you have to apply it. And he's saying, look, you're a minister of God. You need to be teaching people how to apply the scriptures. It's profitable for rebuke and correction, reproof and correction. It's profitable for doctrine. But you have to use it. All scripture is inspired by God, but you must apply it to see the benefits. It's always profitable, but it's profitable unto something, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man or person of God might be perfected on an ongoing basis, thoroughly finished, furnished unto all good works. And that might sound very simple. Timothy, there's an app for that. It's a simplified version, but he's saying if you see a need for doctrine in your life or in the lives of those who you're ministering to, the word is profitable for that. There's an app for that. If you see a need for reproof or correction in yourself or in others, there are passages of this book that when applied to our situation will reprove us like nothing else can. How many of you have ever been reading your Bible and your heart is smitten? Ooh, that verse stung a little. Yeah, it's because it's trying to apply itself to your life. I'd rather that the word reprove or correct me than God have to send any human being to do it. I'm open to that. If God wants to correct me through people that I'm submitted to, I'm thankful for that. But I'd rather it come from this word because it's profitable. And there's an app for reproof and correction. Do you see a need for instruction in righteousness? There's an app for that. There's an app for that. There's the word that will open us up to engage with his word and become applied to our situation and instruct us step by step. Your word's a lamp to my feet, a light to my path, step by step. Instruction in righteousness. The word is profitable. Do you want to be perfected, thoroughly furnished to all good works? Let me use better grammar. There's an app for that. There's an app for that. We have a great storehouse of the word. You go to the Google Play Store, you go to the Apple Store. Nothing beats this storehouse of applications that can change our lives. Doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, and righteousness, that the man or person of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I really hope this is making sense because we're not going much deeper than this today. It's just a modern parable. Jesus did this. He took common, ordinary, everyday things and illustrated spiritual principles. We call those parables. This message is a modern parable. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sure that none of you find yourselves ever in this situation, but I've been smitten in my heart recently knowing that I spend time in the Bible every day. I spend time with verses every day. But I've slacked a bit on my study of the word recently. And the Lord has challenged me. He's given me some instruction in righteousness that I need to do a better job of seeking what I can apply, not just reading to check a box. Now, I could blame a lot of things. I could blame busyness. I just started a whole new training class at work. I could blame my own time management or the fact that I really need to get bifocals. And when I open this Bible, I can't read it anymore with my actual glasses on. I have to go like this. Not even kidding. So that's the next stop for me. But that's not an excuse not to study. There are plenty of other tools that I can use. again. I know none of you have ever been in that situation where you felt like you weren't spending enough time with the app store. It's really hard to apply what I will not open. It's very hard to apply what I won't open. On my phone, I have to click the app. In my spiritual life, I must open the book. I must talk to the content creator. If I don't click the right things, the apps do not function the way they should. And the same principle applies here. Likewise, the Word of God might have a place on my shelf. Maybe on your phone it has a place on your home screen. If you have the Bible app or Blue Letter Bible or any of those other great applications. But I've got to open it up. And I'll just be honest with you. And this is going to step on some of our toes. If all you do is listen to the Bible, that's not studying. I love to listen to the Bible app. It reads to me. It reads to me in King James Version, which has an English accent. It's very theatrical. And it's memorable in some ways. I'm an auditory learner, and so it's memorable. But that's not the same thing as studying. Our brains tune into the verbal reading differently than if we were actually reading these pages. Now, what I have done in the past is I'll have it read to me while I'm reading. That really helps me learn and remember because I'm an auditory learner. I can read a whole book. Pastor and I have had this conversation. I can read a whole book and remember like two things because I struggle sometimes to retain that kind of learning. But if I hear it while I'm reading it, ooh, so much more retention. So much more retention, and that's why I'm reading, because I want to apply what I'm learning. Find a way that works for you, that gets your brain fully engaged. We do a whole lot of listening. This is not in my notes, but we do a whole lot of listening to stuff in our world. We've talked about this. There are so many voices and thousands and none without signification, none without messaging behind them, right? We are all listening to things. Your brain engages with stuff you listen to differently than stuff you read. It tunes in differently, and it's worth exploring how to study, how studying works for you. Leaders are learners. Leaders are learners. And we need to find out how we can learn from this word. Prayer is great. Prayer is powerful. And we need to pray. But if that is all that we do in our relationship with God, we will miss a lot of application. If you'd rather pray than read, challenge yourself to equalize that a little bit because we need both. Likewise, if all we do is come to church and we don't read and we don't pray, how do we apply anything? Once you leave here, how many of you remember what we even talk about? How many of you go home and talk to your family members about the sermon or about the worship and the song that you liked? Do you rehearse any of this at home? Or do you leave it right here in the building as you walk out the door? How are you applying what you're experiencing? Coming to church, prayer, both extremely valuable, both extremely important, both necessary for our Christian walk, but we must also open, study, and apply the Word of God. Why? Because Scripture is God-breathed by the most brilliant app developer in history. And what he has given us is profitable. We're going to turn to Psalm 119. Somebody who preached recently referenced this. I think it was Brother Mike. Psalm 119, verse 9. But I could be wrong, so I apologize to anybody else that references. Psalm 119, verse 9 says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? How are you going to get better? How are you going to get your heart cleaned up? How are you going to get your ways cleaned up? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, not just my ear while I'm doing other things, not just listening while I'm doing other things, but with my whole heart I have sought thee. O Lord, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. See, there's an application. When I put the word in my heart, there's something that begins to grow that I don't want to sin against him. Not just that I know where the boundaries are, but that I don't want to overstep them. Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. With my lips have I declared all the judgments of thy mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Just as much as I would rejoice if I got a windfall inheritance today, I rejoice in the testimony of the Lord. I rejoice in recounting what it is that he has done over and over and over again in my life. I rejoice in saying he paid the way. He covered my sin. He forgave me. He delivered me. He brought me out. He healed my body. He made sure that I had food on my table. All the things. I rejoice in recounting his testimonies just as much if I had a windfall inheritance today. As much as in all riches, I will meditate in thy precepts. Listening to an audio version of the Bible is not meditating on his precepts. That is not in my notes, and I don't know why I'm hitting it so hard. Maybe I'm preaching just to myself. I will have respect unto thy ways. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. It's profitable. It's applicable for doctrine, the sound foundational tenets of our faith, the why of what we believe, the explanation and understanding of who he is and what he does and why he does it and how he works, the foundational doctrine is in this book. If the only doctrine you get comes across a pulpit, you're missing so much richness and undercurrent of those statements. Scripture is profitable for doctrine, and there's an app for that. There's an application for all that you can learn when it comes to doctrine. Profitable for reproof and correction, both for myself and for others that I'm leading behind me, challenging me to change my ways. His word points out the error of my ways, and it points me toward the ways of God. It reproves my missteps, and it corrects my trajectory. It changes the direction that I am on, because once I apply it and put it in operation, it changes who I am. I can allow the word of God to show me like a mirror what needs to change and then teach me how to change. I love that. He doesn't just say, you're wrong. Conviction comes along to say, you're wrong, and here's how you can fix it and get better. He wants to enable us both with information and with power to do better, to live in victory. His word is profitable for instruction in righteousness. His word is there to tell us how to do the right thing, how to live justly in a holy way, in a manner that reflects who our God is and his righteousness way more than who we are naturally by ourselves. Only when we apply it. Reading it's not enough. Listening to it's not enough. We must begin to live it, to apply it. And there is an app for that. His word is profitable. It's here to work on us, to challenge us, to instruct us. It's God-breathed into our world. And it starts by engaging with the words on the pages. So let's just talk about how we can do that. How do I open the app? How do I move it into a place of action and application in my life? That's a good start. When you are struggling, you can flip over to Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5, where it says, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. When you're struggling, you can say, God, I know your word says you'll never leave me nor forsake me. You are right here with me in the middle of this messy, crazy world, this ridiculous situation. I am going to put my trust in my faithful friend, Jesus, who never leaves, never forsakes, never walks away. This is the application of the word to your situation. When you are overwhelmed, like Pastor recently taught us, you can go to Psalm 61 and 2 and say, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. God, I know there's a place in you that is stable, that is certain, that is unchanging. And right now I feel like the whole world is shaking. So lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Lead me to the place of stability. Lead me to a place of a firm foundation that I can count on and go deep in and stand upon when times are tough. When you're short of food or short of rent and coming up short all over the place, no matter how hard you work and no matter how many hours you put in, no matter how many steps you're trying to make ends meet, you can turn to Psalm 37:25 saying, I have been young and now I'm old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken, and I've not seen his seed begging bread. God, I don't know how you're going to do it, but I know your word says that the righteous will not be begging bread in the streets. So here we are. Fill the table, fill the fridge, whatever you need to do, God, to meet my needs. I'm counting on you and I'm applying your word to this situation. I'm going to trust you, Jesus. When the doctor's report paints a picture of misery and pain and lack of recovery, you can stand with Isaiah and say that he was bruised for my iniquities, he was chastised for my peace, and with his stripes we are healed. Lord, with your stripes I am healed. With your stripes my babies are healed. With your stripes my parents are healed. With your stripes my neighbor is healed. God, I'm going to stand on your word because I'm confessing with my mouth what I believe to be true, and the word is true. John 17, Jesus said it, thy word is truth. And I'm going to apply it today. I'm going to apply every promise. I'm going to apply every truth, every scriptural understanding of who God is and what he wants to be and do in my life. I'm applying it today. There is an app for that. One final thing, and then we will be done. Going all the way back to the verses that we read at the beginning of the message, at this point, I really want to make this point today. Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 3:15 that the Holy Scriptures are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. Wise unto salvation. There is an application of the word that is able to make us wise unto salvation. Wise about how to be and how to stay saved. The Holy Scriptures can make us wise about how being saved from sin, saved from a path of destruction, saved from the trouble that I can so easily get myself into when I live in the flesh. It's his scriptures that can make me wise unto salvation. So let's look at what the scriptures have to say. 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved, if ye keep in memory what I preached to you, what? The gospel. He's preaching the gospel. Unless you have believed in vain, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins. This is the gospel. That he died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. This is the good news. This is the truth of Jesus' lived experience here on the earth, that he died, that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But now that we know what it is, how do we apply it? There's an app for that. I'm so glad y'all are with me. How do we apply this gospel? Scripture will interpret itself, and it tells us what the application is. Peter preached it very succinctly in Acts 2 and 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Well, that doesn't sound like the gospel. It's the application of the gospel message. Acts 2:38 is the application of the gospel message. How do I know that? Because scripture tells us. Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we who are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Baptism baptizes us into his death. Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, that old person, is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. How is this an application of the gospel? When are we crucified with him? In repentance. When I literally lay down as a sacrifice before him. A living sacrifice. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is only my reasonable service. And it's in repentance that I crucify my flesh. And I am buried with him in baptism as I submit myself to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And I am resurrected with him when I am filled with the Holy Ghost, which you should speak in tongues when that happens. That's exactly what happened in the book of Acts for multiple congregations who were filled with the Spirit. There's evidence, there's proof. Just like Jesus kept appearing to up to 500 people after he died, there's proof over and over and over again of his resurrection. There ought to be proof of your resurrection in the Spirit, so that you are repenting of your sins. You're baptized in Jesus' name for those sins to be remitted or removed from your life, and you are filled with the Holy Ghost with evidence, with proof being seen over and over that you are speaking a language that you never learned. The application of the gospel is repentance, baptism in Jesus' name, and being filled with the mighty presence of our living God. There's an app for that. Let's all stand. Many of us in this room have experienced this application. There is nothing that has changed my life more. There's nothing that has enhanced my life more than almighty salvation from a loving God, than experiencing and applying the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If you are sin sick, that's when we just get real sick of the sin that's in our lives. I'm so glad to tell you that there's an app for that. And if you need to die out to all those sinful desires that are wrecking your life, there's an app for that. If you're in need today of a saving touch of Jesus Christ to pull you out of the filth of this world, clean you up and set you on a new path, there is an app for that. And it's the application of the gospel. To repent and be baptized and be filled with His Holy Spirit. You would all close your eyes. Whatever you need from Him today, all it takes is an engagement with Him. You've heard the word, and now we have the opportunity to apply His word. The greatest content creator is in the room, ready to power up your salvation, your deliverance, your provision, your healing. And it really is just as simple as engaging with the application. Dear Jesus, I invite you, as you walk these aisles, Lord God, I invite you to do what only you can do. Amplify your word in our hearing. Amplify your conviction in our hearts. Amplify the desire that is in us to be like you. Help us, Jesus, to engage with these applications of your word. This altar is open if you would like to come and pray. I promise you, you will come and you will pray and you will talk to the Lord. He has purpose for this time with you. And He wants His word to be applied in this house by every person that's in this place. I would love to see every individual come and bring their need, bring that need to Him in faith. God, I believe you. I know that you're able. I know your word says that you will. You don't just want to. You will save me. You will save my children. You will heal my household. You will make provision. You will, you will, you will. I believe you, Jesus. And I'm coming to confess it with my mouth, Lord. I believe you, Jesus.